And of course, it's D-Day. Now, you're talking to Kaysen. D-Day. Are you kidding me? People who have followed me for years know that I am certainly not a military guy. I'm not a, quote, patriot. I'm not somebody who, you know, wildly supports the military. In fact, I'm probably the last person that needs to be talking about D-Day on D-Day. But I've listened to some different things that people have said today. And I think, you know, some of it's interesting and worth even me talking about. You know, it's a little different than Arlo Guthrie singing Alice's Restaurant in order to help people get out of the draft. See, that's something else. That's me. But, yeah, this is D-Day. So here's what I'm listening to today. I listened to a great conversation. There's a guy named Marty Schladen who's a journalist. Doesn't even matter what he writes for or who he writes. Nothing to do with it. Just a journalist. And he wrote some things on Twitter that were well worth reading because it's not so much about this military day or veterans who, by the way, I do support veterans, of course. I've said this before. I mean, I support veterans. John Kerry, who was smeared for, you know, Swift Boat, whatever it was. Anyway, it wasn't true, and he supported veterans. When he came back here after Vietnam, and then the veterans followed over time, John Kerry supported veterans. He always did. Now, there are people out here who say he didn't, but he did. So anyway, I certainly do. I support veterans. I think they absolutely are good people. They fight for the country. They're certainly loyal to the country. One thing they're not, I would say they're not. They are absolutely not losers and suckers. So you want to explain to me, I'm not even talking about on Veterans Day or Memorial Day or any day. How is it that a guy who calls people who fight in the military, and especially those who get killed or, you know, they're captured, they're losers and suckers. That's what Donald says. So the question on that one is, how can this guy, who at this point couldn't even be in the military because he's a convicted felon, can't even be in, can't get a clearance. I mean, you can't go and get a security clearance if you are a convicted felon. But here is a guy that they want to make the commander-in-chief, but he can't do anything else. Well, that's okay. We've talked about something like this before because there was a story about that even before all of this, that if Donald had gone with his four felony indictments, if he had gone to the mall looking for a job in one of those stores, if there are any stores left in a mall, he couldn't get hired there. But he could be what? President of the United States? Well, he can be. But who would vote for that? But anyway, put all of that aside. Because what Marty Schladen was talking about was something really important. And I'm going to say, especially on Memorial Day, when Donald Trump is out here once again lying when he says that he can get Gershkovich back as soon as he's elected and nobody else can do it because Russia will not let him out unless Donald is president. Now, first of all, I say he's lying. Might be true, actually, in a way. Given the idea, which I believe, that Donald works for Vladimir Putin, it may very well be that they have a deal. And that the deal is that if Donald becomes president, then Gershkovich can go home. In fact, I guess everybody could go home because at that point, Vladimir Putin would own the United States of America, which I've talked about this before, which is so ironic that, you know, the Russians for 70 years fought with us in many different ways to get the upper hand. You know, Khrushchev talked about, you know, burying us, was actually burying us in wheat. That was a, you know, story that wasn't exactly true. But at any rate, he did say those words, burying us, and we took it to mean that what it sounds like. And then beyond that, of course, there was Sputnik and the race for nuclear weapons and so forth. But the point of all of that was that the Russians wanted to control us. And it appears that in 2024, without really shooting one gun at us, they shoot at Ukraine, of course, but not at us directly, without one gun being shot at us, they are inches away from actually owning us. I mean, it's the best deal since the Louisiana Purchase. I mean, for nothing. All he's got to do is support Donald Trump, who is his employee. And then there's no problem at all. And again, if you don't believe that Trump works for Putin, please go online tonight, M-U-E-L-L-E-R. Go pull up a PDF of the Mueller report. It's 448 pages. Read it. I mean, it's not easy reading. That's true. But it's good reading. And if you do read it, you will at least get some sense of what might be going on. These are accusations against Trump, of course. And they've never been adjudicated in a courtroom. So, you know, we certainly have that problem because, you know, innocent until proven guilty. But he's got four other cases against him right now, three of which are being blocked for various reasons having to do with our political system, not the legal system, but the fourth one went to trial and he's guilty. And on top of being guilty as a convicted felon, we know he's a rapist. Cost him $100 million to be a rapist. I mean, you know it. I know it. The judge said it. Headlines everywhere that the judge said that the jury found him to be a rapist. People look at me and they say, oh, that was never true. No one said that. Well, the judge said it. If I put it up on the screen, you're still going to say it's a lie because you're going to read it in the Washington Post. So then you'll say, well, the Washington Post, of course. They're liars, enemy of the people. And that's really the issue from this Marty Schladen today. And that is this question of, whether on D-Day it's a good thing to be working against the media, the free press in America, saying that you would take MSNBC off the air, which Trump has said that. Look it up. He said it. I mean, I could sit here and say all these things that he says. We could be playing clips all night. I mean, the guy says thousands of things that aren't true. But it's all out there. It's on Google. You can find it in about 10 seconds. But here's a guy who absolutely, not only he, but all of the people now who work with him in the Republican Party, they now take the same stance, and that is, if they don't win, they're not moving. They're not leaving. They're not quitting. If they lose the election, they still say that Donald won, and they want him in. They don't say it that way, but they say that they won't accept the election. So that's, you know, you sit here and, you know, parse the words and split hairs and try to figure out what they mean. They say that they will not support it. They don't believe in it. That if Donald loses, then it cannot be a free and fair election because Donald is supposed to only win. He lost in 2020, but they no longer even acknowledge that. One member of the Supreme Court puts a flag upside down in front of his house supporting an insurrection against the United States government in support of the idea that Donald won the election. Although there were 60 cases in the judiciary that all found, you're not going to like this, they all found that there was no case to support Donald having won. Of course, the people in the Republican Party say it differently. They say that the reason that these cases are being described in this way is because the courts all refused to consider the cases. Well, that's not true. It's not true. Read the cases. The court never said, we will not even consider it. The court said that there was no evidence which would give them a reason to take the cases any further. There was no evidence. They didn't say, oh, there's plenty of evidence, but we're just not even going to look. They didn't say that. They said there was no evidence supporting us going forward on these cases. But here's the real kicker to this. It's D-Day in the United States, all over the world. And we're out there giving speeches and talking about fighting for democracy, fighting against autocrats, fighting against dictators. And we have a guy who is now calling his upcoming administration the Unified Reich. Sure, I'm lying. I mean, everybody that says anything about this guy, it's always a lie. I made it up. I came up with this idea about Unified Reich, and I'm saying it here, but Donald never said anything like this. Of course he did. He says he had nothing to do with it. Was posted on his Twitter account. Nobody has access to his Twitter account except for him and the guy that he has assigned responsibility to put posts up on Twitter. If it comes from that guy, then it comes from Donald. Suddenly, the guy puts it up, Unified Reich, and they say, oh no, not Donald. You know, he says this all the time. You catch him in anything. And then he turns around and says, I've never heard of these people. I never said it. It's not me. It's not me. Have you ever seen the movie Enemy of the People? It's a great movie. And there's a mob boss, and you've got the mob boss confronted. That's you on the tape. The mob boss says, it's not me. That's Donald. That's Donald. He didn't do it. It's not him. But we all know what really happened. But listen, I said last night that you can take all these things and throw them away. And just look at what this guy did in the courtroom. Because then you know that he's mentally ill. Because that tells you everything. But there are issues here. There are issues that are worth looking at. And of course, one of these is the whole idea of the free press. Now, I have to say that when this guy, Schladen, was on MSNBC today, I ended up laughing. I really did. Because Schladen gave a great argument in support of free and fair journalism. I mean, it was excellent. But here's the problem. It was hysterically funny because I knew that if anybody on the right had heard this, anybody, they would have rejected every word he was saying. Talking about American officials who have sworn allegiance to the Constitution, ignoring the Constitution, truly burning it down. And I'm sitting there listening to this, and I thought, there isn't one person on the right who would hear this argument, which in normal times in the United States of America would be taken as, you know, sort of a democracy gospel. But in 2024, it's actually laughable to talk about the Fourth Estate. It's laughable to talk about a free press. It's laughable. A free press? No. We shut these things down. We put these people in jail. We take the various networks. We take them off the air. Well, that's what Donald says he'll do. Do you believe him? Oh, no, he wouldn't do it. He's just saying it. You know, he talked about injecting bleach, and he never injected any bleach. So, yeah, don't even believe him. He just says things. You know, they said the same thing about his idol, Adolf Hitler. They said the same thing. No, don't believe any of that. What do you think? He's not going to do that. Don't be ridiculous. No, that's in Germany? No. This is a place of great culture and music and tremendous wonder, intellectual greatness. Adolf Hitler can't do that. Of course, he did. Everything he said. And Donald, who reads Hitler's speeches before he goes to sleep at night. Come on, his wife said he did. Is she lying? Yeah, you know, maybe. No one believes women. In fact, if they could reverse the 19th Amendment, I'm sure they would. That's one they can't do because it is an amendment. But we'll talk about this in a minute. But at any rate, there's just no question that this country is based on the idea of a free press. It just is. You know, we have three branches of government, co-equal branches, and then we've got what we call the fourth estate, and that is the free press. And we don't talk about it as the enemy of the people. I mean, it's been out there for 240 years. So we don't say that. We say it's the fourth estate. It's almost a co-equal branch of the government. It has special privileges because we want to get special information that you can only get from a free press. So, you know, we can sit here and argue about it, but no one's going to get anywhere with it because, like I say, Marty Schladen sounded brilliant, talked about exactly what you would expect in the United States of America, but I was laughing in the car hysterically because I knew that in 2024, it's ridiculous to talk about a free press. It's meaningless. Because the people on the right don't believe it. They think the New York Times is a lie. They think the Washington Post is a lie. Wall Street Journal? I guess the news in the Wall Street Journal is a lie because the news in the Wall Street Journal is the same as all these other papers. But there is an editorial page. But even they are no good because they're against Trump. They're conservative, but they're against Trump. You know, I'm sitting here reading and you know, Ben, I know you're saying that you're not a Trump fan, but you can't see Joe Biden winning. Okay, I'm really done with my fourth estate talk right now anyway. So let me do this. Joe Biden has one problem, and you could see it today on D-Day. I mean, I looked at the speech this morning. Speech was fine. Very, very nice speech. Everything he said rang true. Ronald Reagan could have given that speech. Everybody would have said, hooray for Reagan. But it's not even a question of what the speech was or the words in the Nah, that's not it. Here's what this is about. So I understand what you're saying, Ben, because I watched this morning. All those people that were being honored on D-Day were 100 years old. And I admit that Joe Biden did not look as good as all of them. Some of those people 100 years old looked better than Joe Biden. I'm not saying they could walk better. They were all in wheelchairs. Of course, let's not forget that Franklin Roosevelt was in a wheelchair too. Nobody knew it, but he was. He couldn't stand up. They held him up. But okay, no one knew it, so we'll put that aside. But Joe Biden did not look good. He definitely did not. He spoke fine. Great speech. I mean, the words, obviously written by his staff? Sure. And I'm sure he looked at the words and said, okay, I'm with it. You know, they don't just write these things for presidents and then just hand it to them. The president works on it with the staff. But people don't believe that because they think Joe doesn't know anything. But for a guy who doesn't know anything, and for a guy that's a complete bumbling idiot, he stood up and gave a pretty good speech. He certainly looked like he was doing the right thing. I mean, we've seen movies where people played the president, you know, a body double. Yeah, they've done that. But that's not what we had today. Believe me, Joe Biden looked horrible. He really did. And here you got him with all these 100-year-old people. He looked rough. He looked like one of the 100-year-olds. But the thing is that a valid criticism? I mean, it is. You don't have to vote for him if you don't like it, the way he looks. I mean, he didn't look like John Kennedy. That's for sure. He did not look like a 42-year-old president. He looked like not even an 80-year-old. He looked like almost 100. He looked rough. But he got up and gave a great speech. And I understand nobody cares because he's given a bunch of great speeches and nobody cares. Now, today is June 6th. So that means in 3 weeks, 21 days, Joe Biden is going to debate against Donald Trump. If Trump actually shows up for this. I know he's agreed to it, but he may not. But if he shows up to it, I think you'll see the same thing that happened the last time they debated, which is that Trump does not look good against Biden. But it's worse than that for Trump, because he's now made a deal. And the deal is that when his speech in the debate is over, they turn off the microphone. So you could have Donald Trump standing in front of that microphone, sort of like, if you remember the movie, which you probably don't, but there was a movie where Gary Cooper played John Doe, and they snipped the wires on the microphone. He's standing there yelling in the microphone, and no one knows what he's saying. And that's exactly what they're going to do to Trump. They're going to shut it off. So he could stand there screaming his guts out. And Joe Biden is going to get his turn. Because last time, you know, Donald screamed over Biden and made it ridiculous. So this time he agreed. When you're done, the microphone goes off. I'm surprised he agreed to it unless he has no intention of showing up for the debate. But at the same time, Joe Biden's going to look 100 years old, I promise you. They can't fix that. But he can certainly stand up and have a conversation with a man who is crazy. They can do that. So Biden will have a chance to get his words in, and we're going to find out whether he knows what he's doing or not. And I think you're going to find out that he's perfectly competent. Perfectly. He's just 100 years old. Okay, 80. But he looks 100. Megan says, you're right that it will be unfair. It'll be unfair. Listen to this now. Think about this. It's going to be unfair that when Joe Biden's turn to speak comes, that he has to have the right to speak into a microphone. You know, I've been broadcasting for a very long time. I broadcast up here sometimes with Vic, who is a real television professional. And you know what we do? We speak. And then we let the other person speak. And then we speak, and then we let the other person speak. That's how you do it. You know, yelling over each other, nobody has any idea what's being said, and that's insane. And there may be some people who think that's good, you know, Jerry Springer style, but that's not professional broadcasting. I've done it with Vic. We do it the same way that I've done it with everybody else over the years. You get in front of that microphone, one person speaks, then you're quiet, and the next person speaks. And, you know, sometimes you might get a little excited, but when you realize that you're about to step on somebody, you back down because that's not professional. Megan says that's unfair. No, it's not unfair. Donald Trump can't control himself. That's why on July 11th, he may be sentenced to jail, which nobody's sentenced to jail for what he did, but he might be sentenced to jail because he's disrespecting the judge, the jurors, the witnesses, the whole system. So all we're saying is when you're at a debate with the president of the United States, you have to be quiet when the other person speaks. That's all. Is it that difficult? Is it that unfair? I just don't think it is unfair. I think it's completely fair. And I think that's the only way you can have a debate. And guess what? That's what we're going to see unless Donald refuses to go to the debate, which he may. We're going to find out. 3 weeks, 21 days. It's coming right in front of us. And we will hear exactly what's going on. And we're going to be able to talk about it the next day. And it's going to be extremely interesting. And I can tell you right now that Joe Biden is perfectly competent to be president of the United States. But he looks like he's 100 years old. He does. And, you know, if we allowed the people in 1930 to do what we do today, then Franklin Roosevelt would have looked like he was in trouble. He couldn't walk. He couldn't stand up. The man had polio. He was paralyzed from his waist down. But nobody knew it. Stop it, Lizzie. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's funny, sort of, in the fourth grade. I'm not even going to repeat it. But I'm just saying this. You can say dumb things about what Joe Biden's doing. But I'm telling you this. He's going to get up in that debate. And Joe Biden is going to be extremely competent, and he's not going to be blocked from talking, because guess what? That microphone's coming off for Donald. Every time he's finished, that microphone's going to shut down. He's going to look like Gary Cooper in Meet John Doe, screaming into that microphone and everybody just staring at him because they're not going to hear a word from him. The only words you're going to hear are Joe Biden responding. That's what's going to happen. So then we'll see what everybody's saying on that day. Oh, they'll say Donald won. That's all they ever say. Donald won the election. He didn't, but he won. Hang Mike Pence, of course. I mean, it's all ridiculous. The situation here has gotten insane, but back to Ben. I think that Joe Biden will win this election far more easily than people realize, because, as you know, women are coming out in giant numbers against Donald. 60 to 35, it's an old poll. You know it hasn't gotten better. And in fact, not only hasn't it gotten better, but get this one. Listen to this one now. Donald's against birth control. And here's the thing. I understand why he is. And I'm going to talk about this in a minute. So let me write this down to remind me, because I don't want to mess up on this. Because yesterday I had something I wanted to come back to and I didn't. So today I'll come back to this. So hang on. And right now let's go get something to eat. Let's get something to eat at Wendy's, a fine, excellent restaurant at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. And believe me, the food there is outstanding. People love the wings. People love the smoked meats. People love the hamburgers and the patty melts. Pizza, salad, it's all great. No problem with any of that, except for I don't really like the wings personally, but that's all right. People love wings. Wendy's got them, and they're great if you like wings. However, they got baby back ribs, and they've got onion rings, and for me, that's the best. For you, maybe not, or... You know, some people say to me when I say it, they go, yeah, I like those baby back ribs too. So, you know, whatever. You can go to Wendy's and choose because, you know, it's a democracy. You go in and you pick what you want to eat. Wendy's doesn't tell you what you have to eat. Yeah, you don't walk in there and they say, look, you're going to eat this. No, this is not the soup Nazi. This is not anything like that. This is Wendy's, a democratic restaurant where you just go in and you choose your own food. I know. Not when Donald's elected, but he hasn't elected anything yet. So, 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road, Wendy's, where you choose whatever you want to eat. It's up to you. No problem. Okay. 4506, oh, I'm sorry. Almost forgot. Hey, sue me. Look, Defiance. Yep. I like that name too. It's good to be defiant. At any rate, Defiance is the new Wendy's. And they have the same great food. Everything's fabulous. And it's the same deal. You go in and you choose what you want. It's up to you. Nobody forces you to eat at any of the Wendy's, not at Defiance, because you go to Defiance and they try to make you eat the wrong thing. You're going to be defiant and you're going to say, I want, and then they'll give it to you. Okay. So that's Wendy's. Hang on. Here's Lizzie. It's a democracy in a republic. By the way, Lizzie, I've got an assignment for you. I need, and by the way, there's Ben. So Ben, yeah, you got a your restaurant's a democracy. People go in, they choose what they want. You don't walk in and say they have to eat what you want, because this is not Seinfeld. This is not the soup Nazi. They pick. Then you cook it for them. It's a democracy. Now, Liz, here's the thing. Democracy in a republic. It is true that we have a republic. But it's a democracy. And here's what your assignment is. Go find a guy. His name is Robert D-A-H-L. You don't even have to get the book. I could get you the book. I don't think you'd read it, or I'd get it for you. But go online, because there are articles by him. I think he's dead now. But at any rate, he's the big name in democracy in America. And he wrote a book called On Democracy. He wrote others. And he explained why the United States is a democracy. It's a republic, but it's a democracy. I realize what you wrote. It's a democracy in a republic. But you know it's a big fight with all these people on the right. I don't know what their story is. I guess they want to call it something else. You know, like the Unified Reich. Yeah, that's what they want to call it. Okay, forget all that. Let's go to 4506 Hampton. And Jewels on Hampton is the place where you can get phenomenal jewelry. And I mean to tell you, they've got cases and cases and cases filled with jewelry. Go in there, check it out. You might find something that you really like. Or you might come in with your own gems and want them put in a certain design that you pick. And Jewels on Hampton will do that too. Or you can bring in gems and say, look, give me an idea of a design that you think is good. I mean, they'll do whatever you want. They are great. They are top quality. They buy and sell coins and jewelry at top prices. And the people that you're going to find there, led by Al, the owner, I'm telling you right now, you will love it. You'll get great jewelry. And then finally, if you've got a watch, like I have, 45-year-old gold Seiko, and you want it fixed, they'll fix that for you too. Jewels on Hampton, 4506 Hampton. And finally tonight, and actually before I go there, yes, Lizzie, we agree on this. Wente's Roadhouse is awesome. There you go. Yeah, so for that one, we agree. That Trump is going to bring back Evan Gershkovich. We're not going to agree on that one. Yeah, sure. Donald has a special deal with his boss. I understand. Okay. So, let's talk about the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. They've been there for 29 years. Every day I'm in here with a St. Louis Suit Company suit on, plus one of those St. Louis Suit Company ties for $5. And, you know, when I say $5, people say, that's $5? Where is that place? They say that all the time. And they go there and buy these ties. They are great. So you can do that. And then you can walk in and you can find suits. You know, I tell the story, I was there about 3 weeks ago, and a guy walked in and he saw a suit and he looked at the price and he couldn't believe it. And he brought it up to Jay and he said, is this right? And the price was zero. Jay said, yeah, in this case, it's right. He said, you're not going to find a bunch of suits in here for zero, but this one is. And then Jay looked at me and he said, Kaysen, it's not your size. But at any rate, you could even find one suit for zero. But the prices are great. The suits are terrific. Overcoats, shirts, ties, shoes. Really great work shoes that, you know, the nice shoes. Bostonian, you know, nice. But here's the thing. I don't wear those anymore because I wear Chucks. But they've got suits and shirts and ties and everything, and it's a great place. And if you want to get married and you're looking for wedding attire, St. Louis Suit Company is the place for that as well. In fact, they're well known for that. So check them out in Clayton on the corner of Forsyth and Central. That's the St. Louis Suit Company, 29 years. Sort of like Lou Gehrig. Never missed a game. Yep. It's a great place to buy men's clothing. Okay. So, here we go. Let's talk a minute about birth control. This isn't an argument in favor or against birth control, because if I had to do that, I mean, you'd have to throw me out of here. I mean, this is not what I do. I don't come in and discuss whether people should have birth control. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is that the Republican Party is coming out against birth control. And the thing that's interesting about it, on the one hand, is that they have to know that women, and even men, but women who are already against the Republican Party and against Donald Trump, women are not likely to rush to the polls to support somebody who's against birth control. Yeah. So, Lizzie, yeah, it's all funny. Lizzie says that, you know, everybody here is too old for that. You know something? It's not even the issue. The issue is, what do you think women are going to do? I mean, if I have to tell you, please, you know that they're not going for this. In fact, they think this is insane. Women, it's like 90%. I'm talking about the polls. I'm not talking about what's right or wrong. You can make an argument against birth control. I understand. You can make an argument. But you're going to lose. Yeah. Lizzie says women are going to vote for Trump. So how come the polls say 60% to 35? Why is that? Oh, they got the wrong women, or else they're lying about the polls, or don't worry because Donald wins even if he doesn't get the votes. If nobody votes for Donald. Okay, but that's not why I bring this up. I bring this up for a different reason. And I don't have the article here, and I don't have clips from it. And I don't even have time to read the clips if I did. But on the other hand, I will get this article, and I'll either bring in the clips or I'll put it on the reading room on talkstl.net. Talkstl.net. Okay? And you'll either be able to read it there or I'll put some clips up here. But here's what it is. It's an article by Amy Coney Barrett. And it's easily found if you go to scholar.google.com. Scholar Google is a special place where Google puts highly credible articles. Yeah, they're really good. They're good for research. So here's what Amy Coney Barrett says in this article. Trust me, if I have to read it to you tomorrow and put it on the screen, I'll do it. Here's what it says. It says the 1954 decision, Brown versus Board of Education, was decided improperly. Bad law. It says that all kinds of articles, I mean, all kinds of cases that were decided by the Supreme Court, like Miranda, bad law, reading people their rights. It was bad law. It was written very poorly. Bad law. Should be tossed out. I mean, on and on, all the way through the Warren Court. And the point is, just like Roe v. Wade, same thing. Bad law, written poorly. They've tossed it out. The Voting Rights Act, bad law. They gutted it. So, you know, they've already been doing this. But Amy Coney Barrett writes about it. Now, she does say this. Listen to what she says. She says that these things that are bad, like Brown versus Board of Education and Miranda, even though they're poorly constructed, it's bad law. But she says, you know, we're not really going to overturn them because it's precedent, and we don't want to cause chaos in the system. Of course, you notice what they did. First of all, in the Voting Rights Act. Secondly, with Roe v. Wade, and keep going. I mean, they've got their eyes on cases that they don't like. The one that has to do with birth control, that's Griswold versus Connecticut, 1965. Trust me, I know all these cases. I've read them all. I teach it in school. I know all this, okay? I've taught this in college for years. I know the cases. And I took constitutional law with top people at UCLA. So I know what I'm talking about. The right wing has hated everything that Earl Warren did, starting in 1954, immediately after he replaced Fred Vinson, because Fred Vinson died. And again, you know, Fred Vinson was the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court when the Rosenbergs were about to be executed. And there was an appeal, and Vinson turned it down, and they murdered the Rosenbergs for things that they didn't do, even though they may have done something, but they didn't give the atomic bomb to the Russians, and that's what they were accused of. And in any case, and by the way, if you want to see a great movie on that, and I've mentioned this before, it's called Heir to an Execution. It's an HBO film that was produced by the Rosenbergs' grandchildren. Very, very well done. It's 1 hour. You can find it on Amazon Video, Prime Video. Very good. Beautifully produced about the Rosenbergs. You ought to see it. You really should. 1 hour of your life. I show it to my kids in government all the time. You just need to see it. But at any rate, Fred Vinson didn't care, and he had them executed, and that was the end of them. They were put to death in the electric chair, both of them. And, of course, you know, Nixon at the time, you know, he was quoted in the film. They asked him about doing this to the Rosenbergs, and his answer was, "They're nothing but a bunch of rats, and the only thing you need to do when you shoot rats is make sure you shoot straight." That was Richard Nixon, who lost in 1960 in a very close race. He actually might have won. But, you know, again, not being as bad as Donald Trump, Nixon said, we don't do that. I lost. End of election. We're not gonna play games with that. They said, but you know, the votes in Cook County, blah, 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 blah. And he said, nah, I'm not worried about it. If I won, but I lost, I lost. That was Richard Nixon, who left the office in disgrace. But it's another story. Here's the point I'm making about Amy Coney Barrett and birth control, and which is, like I said, Griswold versus Connecticut, and Miranda versus Arizona, and Brown versus Board of Education. All these important cases, landmark cases. If you go to landmark cases under C-SPAN, these are the cases that they talk about. And they tell all about these cases. But here's the problem with these cases. They started the culture wars in America. They absolutely did. Because there's no question, these cases changed our country. Totally. Totally. Black people received their rights in Brown versus Board of Education. We changed the country. We used to block black people from going to restaurants. They couldn't go to the World's Fair. They couldn't go to the movies. They couldn't go to swimming pools. But we changed America. 100%. We changed it. Started the culture wars. We blocked prayer in public schools. Engel versus Vitale. Check it out. We blocked prayers in public schools. And Even today, these people on the right will tell you that's when the United States went down the tubes because we took prayer out of public schools. Everything changed under Earl Warren, who was a Republican governor in California, put on the court by Eisenhower, and Eisenhower ended up saying, "This was the biggest mistake that I ever made in my life." But this is the man who was responsible for black people being allowed, as my very good friend Onion Horton used to say, they were allowed to go buy a hamburger. But before that, they could not buy a hamburger. DESE is what changed public schools not taking out prayer. No. The big thing was the Supreme Court, Lizzie. You may have some things that you don't like about DESE. That's fine. You know, we could discuss that. I understand. There are things I don't like about DESE. But I will tell you this. Brown versus Board of Education changed this country. Because if you took an election, if you had an election in 1954, trust me, white people would have voted against letting black people into everything. It would have never happened without the Supreme Court. And then people got the right to have the police tell them what their rights are before arresting them. And people couldn't come into your house without a warrant in order to get things out of your house, because before that, they could not do it anyway. They were told not to do it. But under Mapp versus Ohio in the 1960s, I think it was 62, they said, if the police come in your house without a warrant and get things that show that you did something wrong, but it was without a warrant, then we're going to exclude that evidence. You may be guilty, but that evidence is not going in. It's excluded. It's called the exclusionary rule. I mean, all of this was done in the 1960s, early 70s. And by the way, included in this is Loving versus Virginia, which allowed black and white people to marry. They could get married. But you know what? That doesn't seem to even impact Clarence Thomas, who's married to a white woman. I guess he doesn't know about it. But don't worry. Sam Alito knows who he's married to because she turns flags upside down. I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous. But one thing is not ridiculous. The Supreme Court changed us, changed the country. From 1954 through about 1972, everything changed. Everything. And these people would love to overturn every bit of it, including, if you read Amy Coney Barrett, that includes Brown versus Board of Education. Now, she said in the article, we're not going to do it. But they've said that about other things, too, that they didn't like. And then they did it, including voting rights. So, got some problems here, you all. But we're not going to resolve them here. Not yet. Maybe tomorrow. Not today. What we're going to do today is we're going to remind you of Wendy's, where you can get a great dinner, including Defiance. Jules on Hampton. Don't forget them. 4506 Hampton. And the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton, corner of Forsyth and Central. Meanwhile, I'm Mark Kaysen. This is Showdown. Good night.